And obviously we preached on the theme this morning about lifting up Jesus. And obviously when I was studying that, came across several other places in the Bible where the word lift is used. And kind of put a, I don't know that this is a sermon, it's more like a Bible study. But we're going to see several places in the Bible other than the name of Jesus, what are some things that we should lift up. And so these, if you're writing a title down, things that we should lift up, and there are several of them in the Bible, and it kind of gives us the, I guess, command or the, challenge to lift up these things. And if we lift up these things, just like if we lift up the name of Jesus, something will happen. We saw this morning, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. So as far as salvation, we can't force anybody to get saved. We can't save anybody. We can give them the gospel. We can pray for them. We can do our part. But if we lift up Jesus, He'll draw all men. Same way with the church. We can have visitation. We can have programs that we have, things like that. But the biggest thing we need to do as far as building the church is just lift up Jesus. The Bible said, I will build my church. And so forth. So He'll draw. And so same thing here. When we lift up Jesus, things will happen. And of course, there's I hate to say the word nine, but and I won't preach all nine of them long, okay? I'll just pop, pop, pop all nine of these. But there's nine places in the Bible that tells us to lift up things. And it, again, it's a command. We obey that command and something will happen. Same thing, it's a command to lift up Christ. We ought not lift up ourselves. We ought not lift up any other thing out there, but we lift up Christ and He'll draw them in. So these things right here, if you'll lift these up, the Bible says, if you'll do that, then this will happen. And so the first one we're going to look at is found in Psalm 121, verse 1. Psalm 121, verse 1. And the first thing that we should lift up is our eyes. We should lift up our eyes according to the Bible. And it says here, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills whence cometh my help. And so the principle there is if you need some help, maybe not gritting your teeth is the answer. Maybe not flying off the handle is the answer. Maybe not pitching a fit or getting mad is the answer. Blaming somebody. No. The Bible says just lift up your eyes once you come to your help. In other words, there's a situation that I'm facing here, Lord, and I really need some help. So just lift up your eyes and say, please help me with this. And He says He will. It says that I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, where cometh my help? Matthew 17:8 says this, and when I had lifted up my eyes, or when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And so there was times in the Bible where people were going through a storm. They were fighting a battle. They needed God's help. And that's what they did. They lifted up their eyes. I guess really, literally they lifted them up sometimes. But sometimes it was through prayer. Sometimes it was looking unto God saying, God, I can't figure this out. I can't fix this on my own. And so I'm looking to You. Psalm 101 verse 3. It says, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. And so there's promises in the Bible that, okay, I'm not going to set anything wicked in my eye, in front of my eyes. Why? Because, there's things that we shouldn't look at. And there's things that we should not desire to look at. And so make that promise there and just say, I'm always going to lift up my eyes. And so if a person has had a problem with looking at things they shouldn't, the way to do that is replace it. And so instead of looking at the wrong or the wicked thing, look unto God. If we've tried to figure out life on our own, just make it through, just doing good, things like that. No, maybe we should set God before our eyes. Look, lift up our eyes unto the hills where come the help. Job 31:1 says this, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. So Job had this promise. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. And so sometimes, we've heard the stories of, that's why they have blinders on horses, so they don't see what's going on out here. They're focused right here. Sometimes it makes them nervous, makes them scared. So they need to put right here, I don't need to be scared. I just need to keep my eyes on God. That's where my help's coming from. Sometimes it's kind of like my wife accuses me of this. I'm a looker when we drive. Especially, this is a new area to us. This is, we've been here almost a year now, and I don't have it all figured out. And there's just, beautiful countryside. But she says, when I look, I steer that way. And so she's like, it's like a roller coaster. She's like, ah! And I was like, I'm not doing that. And up here, I figured out, there is a few guardrails, but not much. They just do those little indentions on the side. And I guess I'm always running into those things. And so she wants me to, you know, put blinders on when I drive, or she just said, just let me drive. Anyway, she thinks she's a better driver. But anyway, we see that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we need blinders because that's what we'll do. We'll get our eyes off God and onto what we want or our desires or things like that, where we need maybe have those blinders. And that's what Job said. I'm putting blinders up here. I'm making a covenant. I'm going to lift up my eyes unto the hills whence cometh my help. In that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So in other words, if we always are looking at, you know, they say, you know, sometimes you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Yeah, I don't know. The Bible says, look up. Lift up mine eyes unto the hills where cometh my help. And so there's stories in the Bible about eagles, you know, where you can mount up with wings as eagles. You can run and not faint and run and not be weary and walk and not faint, things like that. That eagle's there. And of course, if you do, I've heard preachers preach on eagles and things like that, and they'll bring out truths and things and you know, compare it to eagles. But the one thing that always stuck in my mind about the eagle is they said, and again, I don't know this to be fact, but you know, the preacher said it, so it had to be true, right? But he said that an eagle has basically a built-in solar panel or a built-in set of sunglasses that it rolls down over those eyes, and so he can fly right into the sun. And so if he's ever, you know, I don't know of any bird that would want to mess with an eagle. They're huge, and those talons could just squish anything. But anybody that was trying to attack that eagle, the eagle would just roll those sunglasses down, look right straight into the sun, and fly into it, and nobody else could come because they could not see. And so, again, we see here the Bible preaches or teaches that we're supposed to lift up our eyes unto the hills whence cometh our help, and be like that. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So if we're having any issues, or if there's something that we're not, seeing clearly, or we don't know how it's going to work out, that's what the Bible says. Look to the author. He's the one that designed your life. He's the one that, you know, he has it out there. And so it's not going to slip up on him. He knows what's coming next. We don't, but we can look unto Jesus, the author, and it says here, and the finisher. He's going to get us to the end. You know, that was my favorite part of the book, the end. Done reading, done studying. But we see that He's going to get us there. So turn your eyes, or lift up your eyes unto the hills. Number two, it's kind of a same principle, but just different part. The Bible says the second thing that we should lift up is found in Luke 21:28. Luke 21:28, and it's our head. Lift up our head. Now, again, I believe you have to lift up your head to lift up your eyes. I guess you could look, you know, way up there. But again, the connotation here is, says here, and when their things began, I'm sorry, let me start that again. And when their things began to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so, of course, you know, they were situations. Of course, you could preach salvation on this, that one day your redemption draweth nigh. You're going to heaven. You know, if you're going through hard times and so forth, one day it'll all be over and we'll be in heaven and so forth. Just lift up your head. So the principle here is not to look up unto Jesus where He cometh your help, but just to keep your head up. You know, you've heard the phrase, you know, keep your chin up. You know, you failed that grade, but keep your chin up. You'll pass it next time. Keep your chin up. You'll make it. You'll pass this test this time. Keep your chin up. And I've heard preachers say this, hey, don't bow your head. It's not time to pray. You know, cause, you know, they're getting on your sin, and it's just like everybody's like, oh, goodness, my toes are getting stepped on. And so anytime, you know, I know when my dad or my mom would fuss at me or a teacher would fuss at me, that was the thing. The head would go down. You know, oh, no, I've gotten caught, or oh, no, I'm ashamed, or oh, no, I'm not going to make it through this. The Bible says lift up your head. So God doesn't want us to go through life saying, poor old pitiful me, I'm just not going to make it. The devil's got me depressed and got me defeated and things like that. No, lift up your head. You know, when we have our head in this shape, you know, it lets everybody know that we're trusting God, that He's got everything under control. We're not depressed. We're not saddened. We're not like, oh no, how is this, we're going to make it through. No, lift up your head. Let God says here, your redemption draweth nigh. 2 Timothy 3:4 says this, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of self. These guys don't have a problem with getting their heads up. In other words, they're lofty. They're high-minded. So anytime For instance, your eyes, the Bible says, turn your eyes upon or look up unto the hills where you're coming to your help. The devil's going to have things that your eyes can look at. So if we're looking to God and saying, God, I need your help, or we're looking to the world or looking to appease our flesh, then we're looking in the wrong place. Same thing here. The Bible says, lift up your head, be confident. I can do all things through Christ. We're going to see that in a minute. So be confident that God's under control. But then it says here that you can get to the point that you become a traitor. In other words, your head's high and lifted up because you think you have apprehended, or you think you've got it under control. I don't need God. And a lot of people are like that. My bank account's big enough, I don't need God. My brain's intelligent enough, I don't need God. And their head's up. But it's up in the clouds, like you can't tell them anything. That's what the Bible says. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Romans 12:3 says this, for I say, through the grace given unto every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So there's a balance in this thing. The Bible says, lift up your head. But not to the point where you think you've apprehended. And don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. But don't go around depressed with your head down. No, we're a child of God. Philippians 3:13, and a brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So Paul, again, we know the story. If he would have been looking at his past and thinking on his past all the time, he probably would have walked around with his head hanging down, that, you know, I'm no good for nothing. I deserve hell. And he would have been right. But the thing is that he got saved by the grace of God. And so now he said, I don't think I've apprehended. I'm not going to be heady and high-minded and think of myself more highly than I ought. That's not why my head's up. My head's up is because God's in control. Nothing snuck up on him. and so forth. We see here, it says meekness, not weakness. The Bible tells us to be meek. Don't be proud. Don't be boastful. Don't have your head up like I'm all this and a bag of chips. But don't go around weak and I can't do anything. I'm not going to make. No, we got God. So lift up your head. So it says here, we're no better than anyone else, or no one, but we're no worse than anyone else. The principle that we ought to have is I'm a child of the King. That's why I'm carrying my head like this. Not that I'm better than anybody else, but I'm saved. I'm a child of the King. I'm not going to walk around like this. I'm not going to be depressed about that. We ought to say, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. So there's my head. I'm carrying my head high because I'm saved and I'm on my head. I'm doing my best to serve the Lord. And, of course, the principles are there. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Not through myself, but through Christ. That's why I can have my head up and not walk around like my bottom lip's dragging the ground. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So again, you can tell, I've played a lot of sports. And in basketball, you can tell this immediately. Sometimes in football you can, but they got a helmet on, so it kind of hides it. But you can tell if they're nervous. You can tell if they're scared. But if they're looking at you eyeball to eyeball and they got their head up, it's like bring it. they're not sheepish. They're not scared. And you can't take advantage. And so that's how God wants us to be. When the devil comes, we got a big brother that's going to help us, and so forth. So keep your head up. In the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. Philippians 3:13 says this, this one thing I do. That was why Paul had his head up. He was confident, not in himself, but in the Lord. Joshua 24:15, it says here, but as for me. That's what he said that day. But as for me, he was like, all y'all can turn your back on God. All y'all can try to figure it out yourself. But as for me and my house. So he had his head held high. So the Bible tells us to lift up our eyes to the hills where it's come to our help. Lift up our head. Have strong confidence in the Lord. Here's a third one, and I may lose some of you on this one. The Bible says to lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. And we have some church members that have no problem with this. They're always lifting up their voice. It's just chatter, 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 chatter. And that's fine. And then there's some people, they're just a person, a few words. You get a grunt out of them. Yep. That's about it. And you get that much, you're like, woohoo, they're talking up a storm today. But anyway, the Bible does tell us to lift up our voice. It doesn't mean over and over and over and over and all the time, maybe. But it does say in Isaiah 24:14, they shall lift up their voice, they shall sing of the majesty of the Lord, and they shall cry aloud from the sea. And so, again, then there's just tons of verses, and we'll look at a few of them, but not a lot, about lifting up our voice. Again, I love singing. I love it when Brother Derek's leading the song, and I can sing over there and just sing. You know, there's some people out there. You know, but we're supposed to sing. Lift up our voice. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise. And I get it. That's about all that some of us can make. It's just a joyful noise. It is a noise. And it's funny to me, anybody that I've ever met that is tone deaf, they don't realize it. And usually they are ones that like to lift up their voice unto the Lord. And it is flat as a flitter. They can't tell. And don't tell them, amen? Let them just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We might not ask them to sing a solo. When we start a choir one day, we might not ask them to be in the choir. But just, hey, make a joyful noise. Acts 2:14 says this, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. And of course, if you do a study of Peter, he was always running off the mouth. Though they slay me, I'll not deny you, Lord. And I'll cut somebody's ear off. I'll do whatever. He was always yak, 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 yak. And so maybe we should put our brain in gear before we put our mouth in gear sometimes. But we are supposed to lift up our voice. And of course, the Lord let Peter preach Pentecost. Thousands of people got saved that day. So he lifted up his voice. So we're supposed to use our voice to spread his word, word of mouth, the gospel. We're supposed to use our voice to testify that we're a Christian. Brag on the Lord. We saw that this morning about boasting about Him. We ought not boast in our tomorrow. We ought not boast in ourselves. But we have a Lord that we can boast about. And so we ought to lift up our voice and brag about the Lord. Psalm 81:10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I used to use that as an excuse. I don't know what to say. I'm too nervous. And again, I mean, talking about sports, talking about hunting, talking about fishing, talking about work, things like that. Boy, I could do it. But then when it came time that I realized I'm supposed to talk about the Lord, it was like, I don't know what to say. People not going to listen to me. I'm scared. But I saw verses like this: just open your mouth and I'll fill it. And I can testify, if you'll open your mouth to the Lord, He'll help you. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. He will give you things to say. I've walked away from people, walked away from doors and things like that, and like, where did that all come from? and he can do it. So if we'll just open our mouth, He will fill it. So lift up your eyes unto the hills, whence cometh your help. Lift up your head. I'm a child of the King. Lift up your voice. Let God fill it. Number four, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Now again, just like there's a balance and a battle in all these things, I believe there's one with this. Again, I'm not trying to, there's some churches you go to and they just got their thing. All right. They all lift the hands at the same time. They all do this at the same time, things like that. And I don't want it to be mechanical. I believe the Bible says if you're going to lift a hand, it ought to be the Holy Spirit telling you to do it, not just because your brother did it. All right. And, there's preachers come in there, they start bouncing, they'll start telling everybody, and they're like, okay, what's going on? But I have no problem with, you're sitting there thinking, I'm saved. I deserve hell, but I'm saved. And somebody's singing a song about heaven. Nothing wrong with that. And the Bible tells us to do it. Psalm 63:4. I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hand in thy name. So I have no problem with a person. If a person's saying, I'm going to lift my hand so that makes me more spiritual than you, they got it out of context. They got it out of whack. But if they're just lifting their hands because they're just overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, I believe that's right. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that man pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Something about lifting our hand. You see these teams that they score a touchdown, what do they do? And the person that does it, they will go around like this. And they just can't help it. They're just like, we're number one, we did it. They're just lifting up their hands. And so I believe that a Christian, we've won. We're on the winning side. And there ought not be, a sheepishness about. And so sometimes, if you ask somebody, hey, who would like to help me? And they say, something really fun. Who would like to help me eat this whole gallon of ice cream? Those hands go up. But, who would like to help me eat this, gallon of prunes? I didn't see any hands go flying up. All right, you know, some person, you know, they might like them. Hey, I like them. Like I asked that question not too long ago about the hominy. We had our hominy people, hands went up. Why? Because they like it. Most people like ice cream, so it's not that big a deal. Oh, I'll eat some. Prunes, I think it has to be something that you develop, okay? Is the Lord good? Yes. Is the Lord great? Yes. You know, again, don't be sheepish about it. So lift up your hands. Number five, the Bible tells us to lift up our heart. Now, again, we can see this and we can hear voice. We can see eyes. We can see head. It's kind of hard to see, lift up our heart. Doesn't mean to take it out. It means that the concept that my heart, you know, my heart, my whole desire is to do what God wants me to do. Lamentations 3:41, it says this, let us lift up our hearts with hands unto God in the heavens. And so just like we see that, lifting up of the hands can become, like we talked about this morning, a vain repetition or just doing it to fit in. We can get it out of whack. We can get our head too high, lifted, high-minded, get it out of whack. We can obviously use our voice to sing the wrong type of songs and get it out of whack. We can get our eyes on the wrong thing. So same thing here. We can get our heart lifted up on something that it shouldn't be. And we're going to look at a couple of those. The Bible says that our heart can be lifted up in several wrong ways. And I'll list them here real quick. 2 Chronicles 26:16 says that our heart can be strong-willed. It can be a part of destruction. It can be a part of transgressions against the Lord. And so, in other words, you know, nobody gonna tell me what to do. That's lifting up our heart. That's a strong-willed heart. I'm just letting y'all know. Nobody's gonna tell me what to do. I'm in charge of my own life. I'm gonna do this. That's our heart being lifted up. And so what we ought to do is lift up our heart saying, God's in control. God's got everything in His timing. I'm trusting God. I'm going to lift that up. Not, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll just do what I want to. That's that heart lifting up. The Bible also says in 2 Chronicles 32:25 that our heart can be lifted up in wrath. I'll get even. If this is the last thing I do, I'm going to. That's that heart being lifted up in wrath. I'll show them. I'll pay them back. Here's another one. Lamentations 2:19 says that our heart can be lifted up in vanity. You know, you see these on the runways, you know, doing all this, and I'm, you know, the muscle men all across the stage. It's all about vanity. Look at my hair or the lack of. Look at this and that vanity. That heart gets, that's what their heart's all about. Ezekiel 28:2 says that our heart can be lifted up in pride. Ezekiel 28:2 says this, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. Kind of like Satan said. So that heart was lifted up and I'm God. I'll do what I want. Here's another one. Ezekiel 28:5 says that our heart can be lifted up in riches. I'm all about making the money. I got to have this amount. I got to have this. And it's that heart's lifted up in the riches. Here's another one, Ezekiel 28:17. Our heart can be lifted up in beauty. Again, nothing wrong with being pretty and nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, nothing wrong with presenting yourself, but there's a lot of people out there, their heart's all about it. I mean, they've gotten, you know, so much money in their hair, so much money in their makeup, so much money in their outfit, so much, and it's all about their beauty. That's what the world pushes on us. It's got to be this style, or it's got to be this name brand, or it's got to be this. That heart lifted up in beauty. Ezekiel 31:10 says this, that our heart can be lifted up in height and size. In other words, Saul was head and shoulders above the rest. And when he had his eyes on God, God used him in a great way. But he got his heart lifted up in his own height, in his own size. David killed that man. I could do. And his heart got raised up, lifted up. But it was all about his height. And I've seen people like that. Most of the time, they're what we call gentle giants. You know, if you have to look like this and they have to turn like this to go through the door, you know, if they had the attitude of the little guy that's about 5'1", you know, just like when you're ready to just kill the world, you put that heart inside that 6'9 person, oh, my soul. But usually God does it the other way. The 6'9 guy says, oh, I'm sorry, and they're gentle giants. But we see that their heart can be lifted up because of that size. And there's people out there, they promote their size and their height, and, you know, it's all about me. Their heart was lifted up. So the Bible tells us, though, to lift up our heart unto God. Be full. Because why? The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So if it's all about your pride, that's where your heart's going to be. If it's all about your money, that's where your heart's going to be. If it's all about your size and your strength, that's where your heart's going to be. If it's all about your beauty, that's where your heart's going to be. But if it's all about God, that's where your heart's going to be. Lift up our hearts. Number six. So we only got three more. Number six, lift up your soul. Psalm 25:1. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." So we can lift up our soul. Because our soul is going to be attacked. Once it's saved, it can't go anywhere except heaven. But it doesn't say that our enemy is not going to attack it. And that's what we see here. David was saying, "Lord, I'm lifting up my soul. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. I'm lifting up my soul. I want you to help my soul. I want you to strengthen my soul. I want you to fill up my soul. Don't let my enemies triumph over me." And of course, David, we know that sometimes his enemies got the best of him with his sin and so forth. So that flesh will rise up. But what we're supposed to do is lift up our soul and say, "God, strengthen it. Help it. Don't let it succumb to the flesh." Then, of course, the world's going to be just dumping on us with all the philosophies and the advertisements and Hollywood and so forth. The world is just going to keep coming, keep coming. David and us should lift up our souls and say, "God, strengthen it. Help it. Let it not succumb to the world." And, of course, if we get our flesh in check and the world in check, look out. The devil himself is going to show up because he's walking to and fro. So we need to lift up our soul and say, "God, strengthen our soul so that our enemies, even the devil, do not triumph over us." So those are all ones that we can understand. Now, these last three is a command in the Bible. We're supposed to lift up our eyes. We're supposed to lift up our head. We're supposed to lift up our voice, lift up our hands, lift up our heart, lift up our soul. And here's one. We're supposed to lift up our prayer. Lift up our prayer. 2 Kings 19:4 says here, "Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left." And so, of course, in the Bible, we see many stories where there was lots of numbers, but then there was this remnant, and with God's help, it defeated the greater crowd. Of course, we just go through several Bible stories if we wanted to and seeing that. Why? But it was because of that lifted up prayer. So if we look at it and say, okay, we're just a handful of Christians in this world. So we're inside Kentucky, which is inside the United States, which is inside this world. And we're just a little bitty group of people. All right. But if we'll lift up our prayer, God can use us to reach the lost. God can use us to serve Him and be great examples to this world. He can use us to let our light shine. But what we're supposed to do is lift up that prayer for the remnant. And again, I've heard since I've been here that this is the only independent Baptist church in Spencer County. But we can lift up our prayer and say, "God, use us." You know, during VBS, during soul winning, during other things that we do to try to reach out to the community. Help us. Lift up that prayer. So let's do that. And then number eight, lift up your countenance. Lift up your countenance. And again, we've all heard this stuff. You know, sometimes if we've done something mischievous, and we get told by our parent or told by, "Wipe that smile off your face." I don't know if you've ever had that said to you. I have. All right, why? Because I am mischievous. I like to do things and mess with people, things like that. And, you know, you just got that grin. Wipe that smile off your face and so forth. So that's the countenance. Same thing, though. You know, we've all heard, you know, turn that frown upside down. Turn that frown upside down. Don't you be pouting. And so that's what we see here. We're supposed to lift up our countenance. If we'll look at it, you know, I got somebody to look at. I have a God that will help me. He helps me hold my head up, not too high, not to get proud, but I'm confident that God, you know, I'm a child of God. And I'm going to sing about that. And I'm going to raise my hands and I'm raising my heart and my soul and my prayer. And so all of that collectively should help the countenance. Numbers 6:26 says this, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Again, sometimes, you know, when you see somebody asleep, you know, they're not very, I guess maybe presentable might be a word, you know, mouth's open a little bit, little drool coming down, you know, nothing's controlled, you know, you're just out. That countenance is asleep. But it says here that God obviously will give us that peaceful countenance. And so even though there may be something going on that we would not have chosen, something going on that we just don't like, we can still have that peace that God is in control. And so I'm supposed to lift up my countenance. And the last one we'll look at tonight is the lift up. The Bible calls, it says, lift up the standard. Lift up the standard. Isaiah 62:10 says this, go through the gates. And so obviously in the Bible times, they had the walls around the city and they had different gates. And they had the dung gate and they had the fish gate and they had the gates where there was trading and selling going on. And there was gates where you come out and go in. And so this is the context here. Go through the gate. Now go out there. So we're going to leave the safety of these walls and we're going to go out there where it's dangerous. So go out there. And that's what they're saying. And then it says here, prepare ye the way of the people. And so, again, we're going to have to go and we're going to go all the way to the promised land. There's that principle there. And they traveled and they went around and around and around in circles and so forth. And again, you've heard the phrase, as the crow flies. Okay, it really doesn't matter the ditches and the creeks and the trees and the houses. For a crow to fly from here to my house, he can fly in a straight line. But for me, it's easier to go out here, turn left, go down here, turn right, go down to town, turn right, stay on the main roads. Again, my truck is four-wheel drive. It's a Chevy, so it can go anywhere, amen? But I don't think I want to take the crow flight path with my vehicle. It's not going to make it. And so that's what it's saying here. We're going to have to go out. But when we go, we want to make it as smooth as possible for everybody. We want to help the whole group. So go out through the gates, prepare the way for the people. And then it says here, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up the standard for the people. And so this is what God wants us to do as Christians. We're supposed to make the path plain for people. We're supposed to make it smooth. The Bible talks about, and we'll get to it in just a minute, like stumbling blocks, things that people would fall over. We're supposed to get those out of the way. We're supposed to make it as easy as possible. The devil's going to try to trip people up. The devil's going to try to cause obstacles, people, things like that. But we're supposed to go out as Christians, go out the gate, you got to, and you go prepare the way. Make it smooth as possible. And while you're doing that, if there's stones, get them out of the way. Again, nothing worse than, when your grandkids come over and you get up at night to go to the restroom, step on a Hot Wheel, that's not fun. All right, step on a Barbie, that's not fun. And it hurts. And so, obviously, I would have rather them to lift up their toys. Put them where they go. Don't make me have to walk on them. And so, the Christian life, God wants it to be as smooth as possible. And we got to work hard. And so, it says, go through the gates, prepare the way of the people, cast out of the highway, gather up those stones, lift up the standard. In other words, that standard was like a street sign or like a directional. Of course, around here, I remember having to take that sign test. That was really hard to study for. If it's going like this, that means, hey, there's a curve going to the left. If it was like this, hey, there's a four-way stop up there. I got the signs pretty quick. But that's what the standard is. This is the way. Walk, this is what's coming up. Be prepared for it. Watch out for the devil, things like that. Let's raise that standard. And so get the road clean, but then raise that standard so people prepare the way, cast them out, gather them. Get rid of anything that you don't need that would hinder you. Because the Bible says that we're all supposed to run that race. And then individually, it tells you, okay, if you're going to run that race, you're going to have to lay aside some weights. That's what you have to do. Lay aside some weights. And that sin that does so easily beset you. There's a verse in the Bible that says, you did run well. What doth hinder you? So we're going to go on that path. We're going to go out there. And there's going to be obstacles. And there's going to be things that would hinder us. And so, again, if we are parents, if we are Christians, we are supposed to do our best to get rid of that stuff and make the ways plain, make the way smoother, but lift up that standard. Say, this is the way. And how do you say that to your kids? We're going to church. This is the way. No, not in our family. We're not going to allow that in our household. This is the way. You're raising the standards. We don't watch that, or we don't listen to that, or we don't talk like that, and you're raising the standards. That's what the Bible says. Lift up the standard. Pick up your blocks. Don't be stumbling blocks. So the standard, a couple of things here about the standard and we'll be finished. The standard, first of all, the standard is Jesus. That's what we're supposed to lift up. The Bible says right there, lift up the standard. Hey, let's be like Christ. Hey, let's talk like Christ. Hey, let's behave like Christ. Hey, let's do God's will like Jesus did. That's raising the standard, pointing people to it. So in our household, in our churches, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to be Christ-like. We're going to forgive one another like we learned in Sunday school this morning. Why? Because He's the standard. We're going to behave ourselves like a Christian does. Why? Because that's what He did while He was down here. He's the standard. So we're lifting up the standard. When you go out of the gate, watch out. We're going to try to make it as smooth as possible for you, but somebody could throw a stumbling block in there. Somebody could hinder you. So what we're going to do is lift up the standard. And that's what they do when they're, mowing on the side of the road. They'll have a truck out there with flashing lights telling you to get over. Why? They're letting you know there's somebody mowing. Men working. Double speed limits or double fines on speed and things like that. They're putting up the standard. They're trying to let you know what's coming ahead. And so that's what the Bible says here. Lift up the standard. When you go through the Christian life, you're going to have Jesus. Lift up the standard. Then also the second standard here is a godly example. So just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He was that standard as well. He was like, hey, Jesus is all that and several bags of chips. He does have it going on. He's the best. And I'm trying my best to follow Him. So you can follow me as I follow Him. So I'm going to be a good testimony. So not only should we raise the standard by lifting up Christ, we should raise the standard by being a good example. Follow me. And then, not only do we have that standard saying what's coming ahead or here's how you should walk, we also have the roadmap. The roadmap. And of course, the roadmap is this. So you raise the standard. This tells you how to walk. This tells you how fast to go. This tells you when the curves are coming. This tells you when you have to cross something. This is the roadmap. And it will help you raise the standard, the roadmap. So trust the Bible. The teachings of your parents, kids, that's the roadmap. They're trying to tell you, we've gone out of the gate, we're trying to make it smooth, and we're lifting up the standard. You follow, you listen to what we're saying. The testimonies of other Christians, that is the roadmap. Number three, we have the example standard lifted, Jesus and godly examples. We have the roadmap lifted, that's the Bible. And the third thing about the standard is the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says this, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when you turn to the right, and when you turn to the left. So the Holy Spirit will guide you in when you leave that gate, you get on that highway, and hopefully you've had parents to get rocks out of the way. You've had Sunday school teachers to get rocks out of the way. You've had pastors to get rocks out of the way. You've had Christian friends to get rocks out of the way. But if you do have an obstacle come up in your life, just listen for that small, still voice. Lift up the standard. And He'll be behind you saying, hey, this is the way. Turn a little bit to the left. Turn a little bit to the right. Now go straight ahead. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to do. So if we lift up the standard, obviously the Holy Spirit will do His part. So lift up Jesus. Then what else does the Bible say? We ought to lift up our eyes unto the hills, which cometh our help. Lift up your head. I'm a child of God. Lift up your voice. Sing. Make a joyful noise. Lift up your hand. God is awesome. Then my heart. Where my treasure is, that's where my heart's going to be. My treasure is God. My treasure is a Christian life. My treasure is doing what God wants me to do. My soul. I don't want my soul to get defeated. So Lord, I'm lifting up my soul. You fill it. You help it. You strengthen it. Why? Because my enemy's coming. Don't let it triumph over me. I'm going to lift up my prayer. I'm going to lift up my countenance. And I'm going to lift up the standard. So other things in the Bible other than Jesus that we're supposed to lift up. So let's have a word of prayer. So let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. And if the Lord spoke to you about anything this evening, the altar is open. You can come pray and ask God to help you to lift up these things. And in 2024, lift up all these things. Brother Derek.